Today, we're talking about cryptocurrency's massive meltdown and the future of the entire crypto market. You'll learn why FTX really changed everything and what it is. And by the end of this video, you'll have a complete idea of what's happening in cryptocurrency and its future. Cryptocurrency is in a bad state, and it prompted the head of Fidelity Investments, a person who oversees $646 billion in London, to say that the FTX collapse is raising questions on the viability of the entire crypto ecosystem. It was always tough to make a case for including crypto, he says, but the setup has come under more pressure. So what the heck happened? What is FTX? Well, it's a pretty complex issue, but I've seen people explain it in a way that I think is more complex than it needs to be. So we're going to break it down real quick right now before we get into the future of the video and what is happening with cryptocurrency. FTX is an exchange, much like Coinbase you might have heard of. Basically, it is or was a place where you could go put some money in and invest in things like cryptocurrencies, NFTs, and different stuff like that. FTX was the second most popular exchange. And FTX had about $16 billion of customer money. Now, that's the really important part, because what we're going to be talking about a little bit here is balance sheets. That's what you really need to understand to look really smart when you're talking about FTX or cryptocurrency and what happened here. And then we'll get into why I think FTX really changed everything. And I mean, like, changed everything about cryptocurrency. So a balance sheet is pretty straightforward. You've got assets and liabilities, okay? Assets are things, in theory, that are going to add value to your company. Liabilities are things that are taking value away. Now, when customers have $16 billion, that means I, as a customer, let's say, put $100 into FTX to invest in Bitcoin. And now FTX is holding on to my money and holding on to that Bitcoin on my behalf. Okay, so if you have $100, you've contributed to the $16 billion of customer money by putting that $100 in and buying a Bitcoin or an Ethereum or something on the FTX exchange. Okay, so that's fine. So how does FTX protect themselves? Well, from any kind of like destruction or any kind of like the way that banks do it. Well, Coinbase, for example, guarantees a certain number of US dollars for every Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever they hold. Now, FTX, and indeed, that's how the banking system works, right? So we have what's called a reserve currency. That means as of the time of the filming of this video, the US dollar is really reliable. Now, all money is made up, okay? So all money is just a value thing that floats up in the world. But the US dollar is considered the least made up money because the US government is, in theory, really strong, and they can pay on their debts. They're a great economy. They're the reserve currency of the world because people trust them to pay their debts, and they trust the US dollar to be strong. So if everything goes to hell, the US dollar will remain. So people are relying on the US dollar when stuff goes bad. Therefore, it's a good bet to back your business in US dollars and to have some US dollars on the books, especially if you're holding on to customer money. So banks hold on to US dollars proportional to the amount of customer money they have. There's a thing called fractional reserve lending, so they can actually do that in fractions, and that can be dangerous, but because the US dollar is so reliable, hasn't been a problem yet. Anyway, the point is that FTX as an exchange should be holding on to some amount of US dollars to guarantee that if something goes wrong and all the customers want their money out of cryptocurrency for whatever reason, they can pay back that stuff, right? So if we look at crypto, FTX's balance sheet, and there's a great article on Bloomberg, it's right here, on why FTX's balance sheet was bad. I'm also going to link that in the description down below with all the other resources you can use. You have to understand that FTX it's like looking at the balance sheet of a chaos god. It is a crazy thing to look at. When researching this video, I'm just going to run you through some of the highlights, okay? Remember we said, just keep in mind everything that I said before, that you have to have a certain number of US dollars backing in order to make something make sense so that if there's a run on it, the company can survive, okay? So first of all, let's look at that $16 billion number that I gave you before, okay? How much of that money was actually held in US dollars, or how much that money was holding other stuff? Well, okay, starting here, so let's talk about Sarum. Sarum, $5.4 billion on the balance sheet was held in Sarum, which is FTX's exchange token. This is the cryptocurrency that they use to do transactions on FTX itself. So they basically claim that $5.4 billion of their own currency was justified and backing the $16 billion in assets that the customers had given them. Okay, but it gets way worse than that. $5.9 billion was in FTT. FTT was another cryptocurrency that was invented by FTX. And $865 million was in MAPS, which was another cryptocurrency, you guessed it, that was invented by FTX. Okay? So if you just look through the balance sheet, you see that two-thirds of the money backing this exchange was in cryptocurrency that FTX just made up. It wasn't even in Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever. And if you actually look at the total market value of something like Serum, the total market value of those, meaning like basically, let's say that we wanted to withdraw all Serum or we wanted to withdraw everything if we could, then you have what's called a market cap, the total amount tradable in the market. For example, on MAPS token was 200 times the actual price of the token. The total amount in MAPS, what, $865 million was 200 times. There was no way they could ever possibly withdraw this amount of money to justify the $16 billion that was on the records, okay? So most of the stuff on the FTX balance sheet is just made up, and the rest of it is in these crazy, like, it literally says unnamed account, and there's, like, millions of dollars in it. There's huge investments all over the place, but this gets even worse if you look at FTX's kind of parent company, also run by the infamous SBF dude that's on this thumbnail, who is the CEO of both of these exchange and of Alameda, which was a hedge fund investing company. When everything started going to hell, SBF himself transferred $10 billion of customer funds from FTX to Alameda. And now, get this, they don't know what happened to it. They just disappeared, okay? So it blows my mind that there's a lot of people that think that, like, there's a lot of, you might be reading some articles that say, like, oh, yeah, like, this was just, like, a mistake. Cryptocurrency had a bad run and FTX failed. Like, make no mistake, this is a huge scandal, right? This is bigger than Enron. And the guy that was running Enron, the Enron scandal, the dude that was the attorney for that, literally said this is going to take 40 years of forensic accounting to get through. I mean, it is a total mess. Over 5 million customers, that represents that $16 billion number right there, are out, and they are not getting their money back most likely. And if they do get their money back, it's going to be a fraction because FTX has declared bankruptcy. So if you understand anything about cryptocurrency going into this video, and you now understand how messed up the FTX situation is, you kind of get an idea of why it's shaken the industry to its core. And that's what we're going to talk about next, this big problem that has come, which I would call a systemic contagion risk, okay? Meaning that cryptocurrency itself is actually at risk of collapse because of the FTX scandal, and we need to kind of understand what has happened there. The way that we have to understand this, first of all, is by understanding decentralization and centralization, okay? So cryptocurrency was built on the back of what was called decentralization. The whole cool thing about cryptocurrency, the underlying technology, for the most part, was that there was not a single controlling factor to cryptocurrency. It's built over a distributed network. There's a bunch of computers that do a bunch of things, and there's either a voting system, like in the case of Ethereum node owners, or there's nobody, like in the case of Bitcoin. But the problem, and let me just caveat, some people may know me to have been and to continue to be a cryptocurrency supporter and an investor. I'm going to highlight a mistake that I made that I think a lot of people have also made, that I was initially lured in by the decentralization idea, not understanding the concept that I'm about to tell you. In order for a decentralized thing to work, it seems like to me that centralization in the form of a platform is necessary. So we're getting a little bit complicated here, but what I mean is, if the technology is decentralized but not accessible, a platform, which is centralized, has to make it accessible. So what do I mean by this? Well, let's look at something like Coinbase, where Coinbase is a platform to which you, just like FTX was, where you could invest money into cryptocurrency. FTX is a platform where you could invest money into cryptocurrency. So you can't really invest in the idea of Bitcoin or the decentralization of Bitcoin. Like, you can buy computers that operate on the nodes or mine, but that's really technical for most people. The vast majority of people are never going to be able to do that. So it requires the creation of a platform to make that accessible. Now, the problem is that to date, all of the major platforms have been centralized by CEOs, traditional organizations, or whatever. And there are some cryptocurrency enthusiasts who use things like DAOs, which are distributed organizations, but even those have a lot of centralization. And the bottom line that I'm seeing happen in the cryptocurrency industry is that we are basically just going to inevitably centralize because in order, people are going to concentrate their power and there's going to be people that stand to make a ton of money off of things like creating centralized platforms, and probably the people with the most money are going to want to make more money, so they're going to create centralized platforms like Coinbase and like FTX. Now, I want to be careful to not compare Coinbase to FTX. Thus far, Coinbase has shown their accounting publicly, is a publicly traded company, and has requirements to show their finances on levels that other people don't have. So Coinbase thus far has maintained its credibility. But I think in any centralization situation, you basically destroy the fundamental argument of cryptocurrency, and thus the investment becomes a lot less worthwhile. Now, we have a bigger problem in that the FTX collapse has basically led to a cryptocurrency cash flow problem. So what do I mean by this? Well, cryptocurrency was, you ever hear all those people that are like, oh yeah, I'm not afraid of the market going down because I'm diversified into cryptocurrency. Why did they say that? Well, because the idea was that Bitcoin and Ethereum were supposed to be what you call a hedge against other investments failing. So the idea was that if the market went down, Bitcoin and Ethereum would go up, kind of vice versa too. But that didn't happen. When the market went down in the 2021 recession began, and 2022 happened, and the 2022 recession really began, cryptocurrency went crashing with it. Why? Well, because ultimately, cryptocurrency is just another asset class. And an asset class means it's just the same as another investment like stocks, like whatever else that people put money into. The problem is that people, like the markets are controlled by people, by investors that put money into it. People don't see cryptocurrency for its underlying technology, which does have value, especially platforms like Ethereum that are doing real things in the world that are super cool. But people see them as investment vehicles. They don't see them for their underlying technology. So they're not making a value judgment to invest based on that underlying technology. So that underlying technology of Ethereum and all these other cryptocurrencies, don't make a mistake. There's going to be people that tell you that they don't have any real value. That's not true. They actually do have real value, and they're producing real results in the world. I've done some videos about that and how they produce results in the world. I've even done some videos about how NFTs produce real results in some videos that people don't like, but they do produce value. The problem is that the amount of investment going into this market is not proportional to the value it creates. So what ends up happening is that the value gets way too high. There's no cash or actual value being put into the world to justify it. And so the whole thing collapses down. Furthermore, it's not diversified like it was supposed to be because people are just investing in this hoping to get rich quick. They're not investing in the underlying technology. They're not investing in the fundamentals. This is something that I've missed a couple of times. I also missed this during Stadia's announcement, that I thought that Stadia's underlying technology was really cool, but I underestimated the human element of the teams behind it that couldn't bring it to market. In exactly the same way, underestimating the human element here, where people are just going to totally ignore the technology, they're going to look at it as, oh my God, I can get super rich here. The underlying technology doesn't matter. There's no valuation like there would be in a traditional company that's producing results. And the result is we get a overvalued thing, okay? Like we get something that is vastly overvalued compared to what it should be. People are just investing because the option to get rich is there, right? And they're not like actually basing it on anything. So if there's no cash left in that market to invest as an extra asset, the value stops rising. So that means that once the psychology changes and the fear starts, then nobody invests anymore. And then cryptocurrency cash flow becomes a problem. Cash flow being, there's no cash coming into this business if people don't invest in it. Now, FTX scared the hell out of people, right? Because FTX showed that not only can the whole investment thing go bad just because it's all hype, but also that that an exchange itself, any kind of form of centralization can actually collapse, taking all of your money with it. So all the people that were on FTX are out, and that story is terrifying people like VCs, people like hedge fund investors and anybody that would look at this as a legitimate security. For a while there were a lot of people that were adding Bitcoin and Ethereum to their portfolios and their hedge fund portfolios. You even saw a lot of ETFs and stuff being developed in the markets to support cryptocurrency. All that has gone to hell because of what I just told you. Because at this point, you can't trust cryptocurrency to be an investment that's anything beyond a hype cycle. And furthermore, you can't trust any security that claims to be a security because they're not publicly traded and they're not regulated. Okay. So this is what has created the huge problem with cryptocurrency. And I think what is just like really terrifying about the whole thing. And now I'm going to tell you what I think the future is probably going to be and where I think cryptocurrency is going. And before I do that, just want to do our quick shout outs. You're 16 minutes into a Devin Nash video, which means this is the secret call. Leave a comment if you're still here. I appreciate you. I've got two things to tell you today. Number one is Patreon. Patreon.com/Devin Nash is a place you can support me. Now, I am totally fine. I run a creative agency that does a bunch of ads for brands and builds brands, did cool campaigns for influencers. So I'm totally good. That's why my Patreon costs $5. $5 gets you over 80 videos, no exaggeration, 80 videos, 30 minutes long on average, that I created just to teach about marketing and business. It's a real thing. Just go to patreon.com/Devin Nash and sign up. It was supposed to replace my Twitch subscription when I stopped streaming. It's not really a money play. Ultimately, even if you wanted to, you could message me and say, hey, I really can't afford this, and I'll just give you the tier one subscription thing. Okay, but consider supporting me if you, because I can pay editors and I can do more for this channel if you do. Second thing I want to tell you about is Novo Merch. Okay, Novo Merch is a part of my agency where we support influencers by building cool merch for them. Just go to novo.tv/merch to get a better idea on that. Okay, that's it. Let's talk about the future of cryptocurrency and what is likely going to happen. Well, ironically, I think that the only thing that is going to save cryptocurrency at this point, let me back up and just say real quick, I think that FTX represents an existential threat to cryptocurrency in the sense that until we solve some problems at this point, that cryptocurrency will probably never recover. And I think that problem needs to be solved is regulation. That's what FTX has shown us, that the really legit investors are only going to feel like cryptocurrency is a viable security if actual regulation from the SEC comes in and regulates it as an asset class, and there are requirements, especially on exchanges, to show how their money is being backed and how the transactions are working. Because FTX has created a black hole where nobody will trust cryptocurrency to invest. Even Coinbase is going to have a hard time retaining customers, and their stuff is public. It's just like the contagion is too high, the fear is too high. So ironically, the one thing that everybody has been rallying against, really, is probably the only thing that is actually going to save cryptocurrency, which is regulation. The SEC needs to come in and it needs to say, hey, you got to show your books and you've got to show people like that you're actually a legitimate business. And they probably need to regulate individual coins and do the same thing and say these are not rug pulls and they need to find that way. Now, the problem with that is the SEC is a notoriously backwards organization like most of the government and will take a long time to even understand what cryptocurrency is, and it might be years before this actually happens, but the reality is that people can't vet their own investments, okay? This is my take. People are too stupid to vet their own investments, myself included, right? Sophisticated investors included. All of us lost a ton of money. I mean, technically, you don't lose until you sell, so my Ethereum is still there. Good luck, right? But a lot of us lost a lot of money on cryptocurrency because we went in and we trusted people like SBF. Now, I didn't lose any money on FTX, but like a lot of people did. We trusted people to say, hey, yeah, our value equals the rate of that this currency is currently at, or the value of this exchange, or how much money we have, or whatever. That's a problem. There needs to be some kind of governing body that comes in and says, yes or no, this stuff is legit. We've evaluated this. And I think there needs to be regulation. I don't see cryptocurrency progressing until there is some kind of regulation on securities and on coins, particularly if nothing else, not even for the retail public, right? But just for the businesses and the hedge funds and the serious investors that are really going to be the ones putting in and pumping billions of dollars into this, that's going to put the price back up. If those people aren't confident, you've got nothing. So until that happens, people will not trust anything after FTX. Secondly, I think that what has to happen is we just have to get really, really far away from the blast zone of all of this. And cryptocurrency has to recover in a way, much like a lot of the businesses that were improperly funded as a result of the last 10 years of a bull run. A lot of businesses now are doing massive layoffs or shutting down because the underlying value wasn't there. The value they were producing as a business into the economy was not even remotely equal to the number of people working there, to the amount of profits they were claiming, and the amount of investment they were having. Look at industries we talk about like esports, where it makes absolutely no sense with the valuation of these teams is $400 million, $500 million, $700 million. It doesn't make a lick of sense, these esports teams, that they're not producing a single dollar. They're not producing $1 of profit, are getting tens and millions of dollars in investment. That time is over, right? And there's a lot of industries like that too. In the tech industry, these companies are overvalued. You had 5,000 people working at Twitter who did jack, most of them didn't do anything, right? And they were collecting $300,000 paychecks in San Francisco living the high life. That's over. You can't have a class of noble elites like that that don't have any actual skills. We have to reconsolidate as an industry, and we have to actually reform and make sense and build things on fundamental value. And the same thing has to happen with cryptocurrency, but it will be a lot harder because there are rules in place and there are ways of like accounting and accounting in general. The basis of accounting, understanding accounting, like things like balance sheets and financial statements and income statements, gives you a rubric to follow for traditional businesses to understand if they are doing these things and they're actually creating value or not. And we have a lot of cool stuff like price to earning ratios and things like that to kind of evaluate, okay, is this business actually producing the value it says it is, or is it overvalued or whatever? And the market in general has a pretty good way of evaluating that. But we don't have any of that stuff in cryptocurrency. You don't have to report on any of that stuff. Unless you're a public company, then you got to do the public company stuff. But the vast majority of successful cryptocurrency coins, you know, on coin market cap in the top in the top 50, they don't have public companies attached to them. Right? I'm not even sure a single one does. So all of these coins are just based on some arbitrary value that people basically believe them to be with no regulation or security. And a lot of these coins are actually owned by relatively centralized companies that could just pull all the value out of the coin instantaneously if they wanted to. And that's how you get crypto rug pulls where people will hype up a coin and then they'll say, well, we're selling 50% of this. They'll tank the price, they'll get all of the money out, and then they'll peace out. And that person could do that completely anonymously with absolutely no oversight, investigation, or future regulation. And that is happening basically on the daily. I mean, there are literally Discord groups and Slack groups that are boosting up coins so that people invest in them, saying this is, and it's just who is the bigger sucker holding the bucket. And I think that everybody knew that about cryptocurrency. They all knew that about altcoins. Like when you get down here, well, of course, some of these coins must be like that. But what they didn't realize was that at the top, at the very top, it's basically the same thing's happening just on a bigger level. So cryptocurrency has become a game of no regulation with who holds the bucket last. And whoever holds the bucket last is the loser. And it turns out, the loser, for the most part, is retail. The loser is you. The loser is me. The loser is people that invest in it and don't have the insider information because they're not creating the technology or the coins, and it doesn't end up being any valuable thing. So I actually think that cryptocurrency is going to take a minimum of 5 years to recover, and I think that it requires a serious regulatory committee or body, and that news has to hit. And I, my only real hope or like kind of like good idea for cryptocurrency is that the FTX scandal might prompt politicians and to basically go faster on regulation because so many people have been screwed by this. So maybe we will see a situation where cryptocurrency has a quick set of regulations that maybe can bounce back is like the best case scenario. Even that, though, I think even if they just got started on regulating cryptocurrency, take a minimum of 2 or 3 years. Now, cryptocurrency has not, you know, we've been in this place before, right? So I've been in cryptocurrency and Ethereum since I think 2015-ish and or 2017, I think. And if you, like, cryptocurrency's had these mega downturns, right? But the difference is that this FTX thing has scared investors of cryptocurrency as an asset class. That's the real thing you need to understand walking out of this video, is that cryptocurrency is fundamentally broken because of FTX, because people just do not trust investing in it. You just plain out lose your money. Like, they don't trust the humans behind it. So that's the real problem, is like, we have a centralization problem in cryptocurrency. Ironically, the whole thing was built to decentralize, and we have a centralization problem in cryptocurrency. Now, maybe it's possible that a true decentralized platform comes along, but how can you guarantee that the owners of that platform, or whoever owns the website or whatever, right, is not going to centralize that and take the money eventually? That's the whole problem, right? Like, we just have a fundamental underlying situation of trust. Like, have you ever seen a relationship, or hopefully not been in a relationship, where you just can't trust the person? Like the fundamental layer of trusting that person. You don't know what happens when they go outside, or if you go to work and they're like out, maybe like there was a cheating situation, or they lied to you really bad. Like, it is almost impossible for that relationship to work, because the fundamental trust in that relationship is gone. And you're looking behind your back every time. That's how cryptocurrency is right now. It's the fundamental trust in the relationship is gone. And the only thing that's going to improve that is a like big watcher person, a third party that's like, actually, that's what's happening, that's what's not. And then we transfer that trust to that organization, which is currently the way it is with stocks and securities. So cryptocurrency is not looking good. And I think this is a different type of crash than the other ones where I wasn't as worried. You know, going through Mt. Gox and like the bad stuff where that whole thing collapsed, and some of the downturns in the past, this feels different. Where I was pretty positive on every crash before, this one really feels different because FTX just screwed up everything. Like, the fundamental trust being eroded is super concerning, and I don't know that we can trust the government in the United States to regulate fast enough or correctly enough to actually build this market back. And one might question why would they save it in the first place, right? Maybe there's enough pressure on politicians by their constituents that said, we want cryptocurrency to be in an asset class, so why don't you help us invest in it? Maybe there is enough of an argument that says, well, if we regulate cryptocurrency as an security, we can collect taxes on it, make a shitload of money. Maybe that's good. But also, cryptocurrency is an existential threat to the US dollar, ultimately, if it's allowed to succeed. If Bitcoin was, in theory, to be as powerful as the US dollar, then now all of a sudden there is a currency that the government can't control that is rampaging around calling its own decisions. I mean, when cryptocurrency was at its peak, people started paying for stuff at grocery stores with cryptocurrency in some places. So why would the US want to lose the control of the US dollar and the reserve currency to a decentralized coin like Bitcoin? They do not want to do that. So I think that at a high level, there isn't much incentive for the U.S. government to actually like be like, yeah, like, oh, wait, like, let's save cryptocurrency. Let's regulate it. Unless they really think they could collect a lot of taxes off it. But maybe they could just let it die, and then they could just keep doing that for, you know, fundamental securities, traditional securities. So I'm quite a bit scared, for sure. I'm more scared about cryptocurrency than I've ever been. And I've been in it for a while. And that's basically it. I'd like leave some comments of what you think with anything that I missed. I mean, it's a really big issue, so covering it all in like 30 minutes is pretty tough. Hopefully I've done a good job. Let me know either way. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I'll see you again next time.